Osho, seeds of revolution, my most loved gospel on Jesus, commentaries on the fifth gospel of St. Thomas, discourse number 7, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India.
Bhagwan, Jesus said, "The kingdom of the Father is like a man, a merchant, who possessed merchandise and found a pearl. The merchant was prudent. He sold the merchandise and bought the one pearl for himself. Do you also seek for the treasure which fails not, which endures, where no moth comes near to devour, and where no worm destroys."
If you look without, the world of the many exists. If you look within, then the world of one. If you go outside, you may achieve much, but you will miss the one. And that one is the very center. If you miss it, you have missed all. You may attain much, but that much will not count much in the end. Because unless one attains to oneself, nothing is attained. If you are a stranger to yourself, even the whole world will not fulfill you. If you have not got into your own being, then all the riches will make you even more poorer. This happens. The more riches you have got, the more poverty you feel. Because now you can compare. Outside riches, then the inside in comparison looks poorer and more poorer and more poorer. Hence the paradox of the rich man. The richer he gets, the more poorer he feels. The more he has, the more he feels he is empty. Because the inner emptiness cannot be filled by outer things. Outer things cannot enter into your being. The inner emptiness can be filled only when you achieve to yourself, when you attain to your being. Make a clear distinction. The world out is the world of the many. But one is absent there. And that one is the goal. That one is within you. So if you are searching outside, you will miss. Nothing will be of much help. Whatsoever you do, you will be a failure. The mind will go on saying that attain to that, then you will be fulfilled. When you attain it, the mind will say again, attain something else, then you will be fulfilled. The mind will say, if you are not succeeding, it means you are not doing enough effort. If you are not reaching, you are not running fast enough. And if you listen to the logic of the mind, which looks logical, but it is not, then you will go on running and running and running, and in the end, nothing except death. The many is the realm of death. The one is the realm of the deathless. the seeker has to be sought not in the objects but in your subjectivity. You have to turn within. A conversion is needed, a turning, absolute about turn is needed. So the eyes which see outside start seeing within. But how this will happen? Unless you are totally frustrated with the world, this cannot happen. If even a slight hope remains, you will go on moving. Failure is great. And with the failure of the many, a new journey starts. Sooner you fail in the outside world, the better. Sooner you get totally frustrated, the better. Because the failure in the outside becomes the first step towards the inner. Before we enter this sutra of Jesus, many more things have to be understood. Who is the wise man? The one who is ready to lose all for the one. And who is the fool who has lost himself and purchased ordinary things? Who has sold the master and filled his house with useless things? I have heard once it happened. A friend of Mullah Nasruddin became very, very rich. And when somebody becomes rich, he wants to go back to the old friends, old neighbors, old village, to show that what he has attained. So he came from the capital to the small village. Just on the station, he met Mullah Nasruddin. He said, "Nasruddin, do you know I have made it? I have become very, very rich. You cannot conceive. I have got a palace of 500 rooms. It is a castle. Mullah Nasruddin said, "I know few persons who have got houses with 500 rooms. The friend said, "I have got 18 whole golf courses, 3 swimming pools, acres and acres of greenery." Nasruddin said, "I know one man in the other town who has got 2 golf courses, 3 swimming pools." The rich man said, "In the house?" Nasruddin said, "Listen, you may have made much money, but I have also not done too bad. I have got donkeys, horses, pigs, buffaloes, cows, chickens." The other man started laughing. He said, "Nasruddin, lots of people have got donkeys, horses, cows, chickens." Nasruddin stopped him in the middle and said, "In the house?" But whatsoever you get, whether they are 18 golf courses, 18 whole golf courses, 3 swimming pools or 500 rooms, are donkeys, horses and cows, whatsoever you can get outside will not make you rich. Because really the house remains empty. You remain empty. Nothing enters into the house. They remain outside. They belong to the outside. There is no way to put them in. And poverty is within. Had it been outside, then there was no problem. If you felt the emptiness outside on the periphery, then it could have been filled by houses, cars, horses, or anything. But the emptiness is felt within. You feel meaninglessness within. It is not that you don't have a big house that is creating the trouble. It is that inside you feel totally meaningless. Why you exist? Why this whole trouble of being in existence? Why being alive? Where it is leading? Every day in the morning you are awake again to go and nowhere to go. Every day morning you get dressed and you know by the evening nothing is reached, no goal is achieved. Again you fall asleep, again in the morning the journey starts. The whole meaningless business of it. Inside you go on feeling empty. There is nothing. So with outside things you can at the most deceive others, not yourself. How you can deceive yourself? The more things accumulate, more life is wasted, because they have to be purchased at the cost of life. You are less alive, death has come near, things are growing more and more, the pile goes on becoming bigger and bigger, and inside you are shrinking. Then the fear that what I am achieving, where I am reaching, what I have done to my whole life. And you cannot go back. The time that is wasted cannot be returned to you. There is no way. You cannot get it back. You cannot say, sorry, I would start again. That is not possible. Then by the time you become old, you become more and more sad. That sadness is not because of physical age. That sadness is because now you realize what have you done to yourself. You have made a house, of course. You have succeeded. You are rich. You have attained prestige in the eyes of others. But what about your own eyes? Now you feel the pain, the suffering of a wasted life, of a time lost, death coming nearer, and soon you will dissolve and your hands empty. This emptiness is inner. You cannot fill it by anything that you can get in the world, unless you get yourself. Hence the insistence of Jesus that even a camel can pass through the eye of a needle. But a man who is rich cannot pass through the gate of heaven. Why? What is wrong with a rich man? Nothing is wrong with the rich man. The emphasis is that one who has wasted his life in accumulating things of the world, that is what rich man means. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God, because there only one enters who has attained to the inner. He cannot deceive at the gate of heaven. He cannot enter because he will be too much wasted, rotten, a ruin. He cannot dance at the door. He cannot sing. He cannot enter with a certain significance that he has attained in his life. He is uprooted. He possessed much, but he never possessed himself. And that is the poverty. If you possess yourself, you are rich, really rich. If you don't possess yourself, you may be an emperor, but you are poor. Second thing to be understood, that why we go on accumulating? Because the truth is so clear, but still we go on. Nobody listens to Jesus or Buddha. Even if you listen, even if you feel that you understand, you never follow it. There must be some very deep reason. So Buddha and Jesus are neglected. You go on your path. Sometimes a doubt arises, but that's all. Again, you get settled and you follow your own path. There must be something very deep-rooted which even a Buddha or Jesus cannot shake, cannot uproot. What is that deep-rootedness? We exist in the eyes of others. Our identity consists of the opinion of others. Others' eyes are the mirrors. We look at our face in others' eyes. There is the rub, the problem. Because others cannot see your inner being. Your inner being cannot be reflected in any mirror whatsoever. Only your outer can be reflected. The reflections are only of the outer, of the physical. Even if you stand before a mirror, the best mirror, only the physical part of you will be reflected. No eye can reflect your inner part. So others' eyes reflect your riches, your achievements in the world, your clothes. They cannot reflect you. And when you see that others think you are poor, that means you don't have good clothes, a good house, a good car. You start moving towards that. Just to see in the eyes of others that you are rich, you accumulate things. Others' eyes start reflecting that you are becoming rich and richer and richer. You are gaining power and prestige. Your identity consists in your reflection. And others can reflect only things. They cannot reflect you. Hence, meditation is very, very necessary. Meditation means closing your eyes, not looking at the reflection, but looking at your own being. Otherwise, the whole day, you are engaged with others. In the night also, when you sleep, either you are unconscious when there is deep sleep, or you are again engaged with others in your dreams. Continuously living with the others is the problem. You are born into a society. You live in a society. You die in a society. Your whole existence consists of the social. And society means eyes all around. And whatsoever they reflect, they impress you. If everybody says you are a good man, you start feeling good. If everybody thinks you are a bad man, you start feeling bad. If everybody says that you are ill, you will feel start. You will start feeling ill. Your identity depends on others. It is a hypnosis through others. Move into loneliness. Live with the others, but don't adjust yourself with the others. At least once an hour daily, just close your eyes. Closing means you are close to the society. No society exists, only you. so you can face yourself directly. Move once a year for a few days to the hills, to the desert, where nobody is, only you, and see yourself as you are. Otherwise, continuous living with others will create a hypnosis in you. That hypnosis is the cause you go on. Influencing others, impressing others, the real thing is not how to live a rich life. The real thing is how to impress others that you are rich. But these are totally different things. The others are impressed by whatsoever you possess. They are never impressed by you. If you meet Alexander in a beggar's gown, you will not recognize him. If you meet the beggar who has always like Alexander, you will fall into his feet. You will recognize. It happened once. A great Urdu poet, Ghalib, was invited to a dinner by the emperor. Many other persons were invited, almost 500. Ghalib was a poor man. It is very difficult for a poet to be rich, rich in the eyes of others. Friend suggested that, Ghalib, you can borrow dresses, shoes, a good umbrella, because your umbrella is so rotten. Your coat is almost gone, faded. And with this dress and these shoes, which has so many holes, it won't look good. But Ghalib said, if I borrow something, I will feel very uncomfortable inside, because I have never been borrowing from anybody. I have lived on my own feet. I have lived in my own way. Just for a dinner, to break the habit of the whole life is not good. So he went to the emperor's court in his own dress. When he presented his invitation card to the watchman, he looked at him, laughed, and said, from where you have stolen this? Escape from here immediately. Otherwise you will be caught. Ghalib could not believe. He said, I have been invited. You go and you ask the emperor. The watchman said, every beggar thinks that he is being invited. And you are not the first. Many others have knocked the door before. You escape from here. Don't stand here, because guests will be reaching soon. So Ghalib went back. The friends knew that this was going to happen. So they had arranged some coat, some shoe, some umbrella, something. Borrowed things, then he put on those borrowed things, came back. The watchman bowed down. He said, come in. Ghalib was a very well-known poet, and the king loved his poetry. So he was allowed to sit just by the side of the king. When the feast started, Ghalib did a very strange thing. The king thought that he looks a little mad. He started feeding his coat and saying, my coat, eat it. Because really, you have entered, not I. The king said, what are you doing, Ghalib? Have you gone mad? Ghalib said, no. I had come before, but I was refused entry. Now this coat has come. I am just with it. Because the coat couldn't come alone. Otherwise, I have not come. But this is happening. Everybody. not you, your coat is recognized by others. So you go on embroidering your coat, dressing yourself. Meditation is needed to give you a break from the others, the eyes of others, the mirror of others. Forget them. For a few minutes, just look in. Then you will feel the inner pain and suffering that you are empty there. But then a transformation starts. Then you start looking for the inner riches, the treasury that exists within you. Not for the treasures that are spread all around. Many are the riches outside, only one is the treasure within. Many are the dimensions and directions outside. One pointed goal is within. Jesus says, the kingdom of the Father is like a man, a merchant, who purchased merchandise and found a pearl. The merchant was prudent. He sold the merchandise and bought the one pearl for himself. The story is, one man went to a faraway country to earn money. He earned much merchandise. He collected, but at the last moment he came upon a pearl. He exchanged. He sold all the merchandise and purchased one pearl. When he was coming back, there was an accident and the ship was drowned. But he could swim with one pearl to the bank. He reached his home with all his treasures. And this is the story Jesus refers. That man purchased one instead of many. So even when the ship was drowned, nothing was drowned. The one can be saved, not the many. When death will come and your ship is drowned, if you have one pearl, you can carry it to the other bank. But if you have many things, they cannot be carried. A pearl can be carried, but how can you carry much merchandise? Jesus says the kingdom of the Father is like a man, a merchant, who purchased merchandise and found a pearl. The merchant was prudent. He was wise. Because this is the foolishness to sell the one and to purchase many. This is wiseness, wisdom, to sell the many and to purchase the one. The pearl is symbolic about the one, the inner. The merchant was prudent, he sold the merchandise and bought the one pearl for himself. Do you also seek for the treasure which fails not, which endures, where no moth comes near to devour, and where no worm destroys? Then be like that merchant, the prudent, the wise one. Whatsoever you can get in this world will be snatched away from you. Have you observed the fact that you cannot purchase anything in the world in reality? You simply feel you purchase. But the thing was here when you were not, somebody else purchased it. Soon you will not be here and the thing will be here and somebody else will possess it. Your possession is just like a dream. Sometimes it is there and sometimes it is gone. It happened that there was a king, Ibrahim. One night he heard a noise on his roof. Somebody was walking, so he asked, "Who is there?" The man said, "Don't get disturbed. My camel is lost. I am searching for it on the roof of the palace." "Camel is lost." Nasruddin laughed and said, "You madman, get down. Camels are never lost on the roof of a palace. Go home." But then he couldn't sleep because he was a man of contemplation. He thought, maybe the man was not mad. Maybe he was saying something symbolically. Maybe he is a great mystic because the voice was such. When he said, "Don't be worried, don't be disturbed," there was so much consolation and silence in it. The voice was so musical and harmonious, it cannot be of a madman. And when he said that my camel is lost and I am searching my camel, the voice was so penetrating, it seemed to indicate something. The man has to be found tomorrow morning. I must see who is this man, whether he is mad or a madman of God, whether he was just in his madness on the roof, or whether he was sent for me particularly to give me a message. The king couldn't sleep the whole night. The morning he told his courtiers that go and find this man. This type of voice. But the whole capital was searched and the man could not be found, because just by the tone, the voice, how can you find a man? Difficult. Then just in the middle of the day, there was much hustle at the door. A fakir, a beggar, has appeared, and he was saying to the watchman that, "Allow me to enter because I want to be here to stay for a few days in this sarai, in this inn." The watchman was saying that this is not an inn, not a sarai. This is king's own palace, his own residence. And the fakir said, "No, I know very well this is an inn. Travelers come in, they stay and they go. Nobody is a resident here. So let me allow, I will talk to the king, who seems to be a foolish man." This was heard and he was called. The king was very angry. He said, "What are you saying?" The man said, "Listen, I had come before, but then on this throne somebody else was sitting, and he was also the same type of foolish man as you are, because he thought this is his residence. Now you are thinking this is your residence." The king said, "Don't be stupid and don't behave in such an uncivilized way. He was my father, now he is dead." The fakir said, "And I tell you that I will come again and I will not find you here. Somebody else will be there. He will be your son and he will say this is my residence." "Oh, what type of residence is this? People come and go. I call it a traveler's inn." The voice could be recognized. The king said, "Then you are the madman who was looking for the camel on the roof." The madman said, "Yes, I am the madman, and you are also. If you are looking for yourself in the riches, you are looking for a camel on the roof." The king came down from his throne and said to the fakir that, "You stay in this sarai, but I leave it, because I was staying only believing that this is a residence, this is a home. If this is not a home, then I must go and search the home before it is too late." Ibrahim became a mystic in his own right. And when he became known, when he became a realized man, it used to happen that he used to live outside the capital, his own capital. Once it was his possession, now it was just a sarai. He used to live outside, and people will come and they will ask that, where is Basti? Basti means the city, but the word is very beautiful. The word means where people reside. And Ibrahim will show to the cemetery. He will say, go to the right, you will reach the Basti where people reside. And then people will go. And then they will come back very angry and they will say, what type of man you are? We asked about Basti, the city where people reside, and you sent us to the cemetery. And Ibrahim would laugh and he will say, so, we use terms in a different way, it seems. Because there in the cemetery, once you enter, you are a resident forever. That's the real Basti. The residence, permanent. Then address never changes. That you are there forever and forever and forever. So you are not asking for the real Basti. Then you are asking for this town, which is a cemetery, because people are standing in the queue just to die. Somebody's time has come today, somebody's will be coming tomorrow, somebody else day after tomorrow, but everybody is waiting just to die, and you call it Basti? You call it where people reside? I call it the cemetery. Marghat. Where people are simply waiting to die. Where nothing exists except death. And if life exists, it is nothing but a waiting towards death. And how life can be a waiting towards death? How life can be momentary? How life can be just like a dream? It is there and it is gone and not there. Life must be something eternal. But if you are looking for the eternal, then be like the prudent merchant. Soul, all that you have got, sell it and purchase the one pearl of your inner being, which cannot be drowned, which cannot be snatched away, because that pearl is you. You can possess only yourself, nothing else can be really possessed. You can live in an illusion, that's another thing. You can live in the illusion that you possess this house, this wife, this husband, these children, but this is an illusion. Sooner or later, the dream will go away. You can possess only yourself, because that will never go away. The being is permanent, eternal. It is timelessly yours. It cannot be taken away from you. This is the difference between a worldly search and a religious search. The religion is looking for the eternal. The worldly is looking for the temporal. The world exists in time and religion exists in timelessness. Observe a clear fact that whenever you close your eyes and thoughts have dropped, there is no time. Whenever you close your eyes and thoughts are not there, time disappears. Thoughts are there, then there is time. Things are there, then there is time. Around you exists the time, the ocean of time. within you exists eternity, timelessness. That's why all the realized ones say that when you have transcended time, when you have gone beyond time, you have reached to yourself. The home has come. Once it happened, a man worked in a factory. The man was very poor, and he used to come on his donkey to the factory. But always he was late coming back to the home, and the wife was always angry. One day he said, "You try to understand my problem. When the whistle, the last whistle, the quitting whistle goes, this donkey has become so accustomed that even if I am late for 2-3 seconds, he is gone on his own. He leaves for the home without me." And there is such a rush. Everybody wants to leave the factory immediately. And when I reach, many times I miss, the donkey is gone. He waits 2-3 seconds at the most. If in that time I have jumped on him, it is okay, otherwise he is gone without me. So this is the trouble, then I have to walk down. So he thought this will help. And then he asked the wife, "Do you understand the moral of this story?" The wife says, "I understand it well. Even a jackass knows when it is time to go back home." Even a jackass knows when it is time to go back home. But you have not yet become aware where the home is, when to leave for the home. You go on wandering. You go on knocking on others' houses. You have completely forgotten where your home is. So if you are uneasy, it is not strange. If you never feel at ease anywhere, it is not strange. You go on traveling from one corner to the other corner of the world. Why this madness exists? To go from one town to another, what you are seeking? Whenever anybody can afford, he goes on traveling. People work, then they save money just to go around the world. Why? What you are going to gain? I have heard once an American hunter was looking into a Greek volcano, just in the center of the volcano. Then he said to the guy, "Heavens, it looks like hell." And the guy said, "You Americans, you have been everywhere. Once you can afford, you will go to the hell also. But why this uneasiness exists? Why man is a vagabond deep down? Because the home is missing. You are in search of it. Your direction may be wrong, but your uneasiness is indicative. Wherever you are, it is not the home. This is the problem. So you go on in search. You can go even to the hell in search, but you are not going to find it anywhere, because the home exists within you. And even a jackass knows when it is time to go back. It is time, it is already time. You have waited enough. Don't search it in things. Don't search it in others. Don't search it outside. There you will meet the many, the multiple. What Hindus call Maya. Maya means the many, the multiple. Maya means the endless. You go on searching and searching, and there comes no end to it. It is a magical world. Maya means the magic of the many. The magic remains. You go on searching. You never get anything because it is the magical world. Whenever you come closer to it, it disappears like a rainbow. From a distance, it is beautiful. It catches you. You become obsessed with it. It enters in your dreams, in your desires. You would like to have the rainbow in your fist. And then you go on and on, and the rainbow goes on receding. Whenever you reach, you will find there is nothing. Rainbow was a dream, an illusory reality. Hindus have called this world of the many, Maya, a magical world, as if a magician has created it. Nothing exists really. Everything exists through desire and dreaming. You create it through your desire. You are a creator through your desire. You create the world of the many. A car, a beautiful car is there. If there is no man on the earth, what will be the value of the car? Who will appreciate it? Who will bother about it? The birds won't look. The animals won't bother. Nobody will pay any attention to it. It will rotten. It will become a junk. But when man is there, it is valuable. From where the value comes? It comes from your desire. If you desire it, it is valuable. If you don't desire it, the value disappears. The value is not in the thing, it is in your desire. The old law of economics was, wherever there is demand, supply comes into. But now the law has completely changed. You supply and demand comes in. Can you think of any person in Buddha's time dreaming about a car? There was no problem because the supply was not there. So how you can desire? Now the whole business world exists in creating new supplies. First they create supply, then they advertise, then they create desire, then the demand comes in. Then you rush, because then you see now here is the goal. I was missing whole life, now here is the goal. Once I achieve it, everything is achieved. But the businessman goes on inventing new things. Advertisers go on creating new desires. Every year they create new cars, new houses, new goals. Constantly they supply you how to move out. How to move out. They don't give you a gap to think. Your car may be okay, but they say the new model has come. No, moving with the old model, it hurts to the ego. The new model may not be better, even it may be worse. But the new has to be purchased. You have to got it, because neighbors have got it. Because everybody is talking about. One woman came to a doctor and said, do any operation on me. doctor said, "But have you gone mad? Why operation? You are completely healthy and okay." The woman said, "But it is very difficult. Whenever I go to the club, every woman is talking. Somebody's appendix is removed. Somebody's tonsil is removed. And only I feel somehow abnormal. Nothing to talk. You remove anything so that I can go to the club and talk about it. Even there is a competition in disease. You have to be ahead of everyone. Whatsoever the consequence, you had to be at the top." Three commuters were talking in a train. One said, bragged about his wife, that "I have got a wife. We got married 10 years before. She still comes every night to receive me at the station when I come back home. Impossible." The other man said, "I can understand, because I have been married for 20 years and the same is happening. My wife still comes to receive me at this station." The third man said, "I can beat you. I have been married for 30 years. I have been married for 30 years. My wife still comes to receive me. And really, I am not married to her at all. She still comes to receive me. I can beat you." Even if people are telling lies, you have to talk. You have to be the first. Whatsoever people are doing, if the style changes of dresses, the new dress may look neurotic, but you have to follow it. Nobody is at home because everybody is knocking at others' door. Remember this well, nobody is a goal for you except your own self. You are the goal. And you have to achieve yourself. Nothing else is worth. This is what Jesus says. The kingdom of the Father is like a man, a merchant, who purchased merchandise and found a pearl. The merchant was prudent. He sold the merchandise and bought the one pearl for himself. Do you also seek for the treasure which fails not, which endures, where no moth comes near to devour, and where no worm destroys? Look for the deathless and remain alert. Don't waste your time with that which is not going to endure. Don't waste your life for that which is going to change, which is part of the changing world. Then what you can think which is going to endure? Have you come upon any fact in your life which gives you a feeling that it is going to endure? The visible world is all around you. Nothing endures in it. Even the hills will not endure forever. They also become old. They also die. Even continents have disappeared. This Himalaya was not there in the days of Vedas, because the original Rig Veda never talks about it. It is impossible. not to talk about the Himalaya if it is there. Impossible. How can you neglect Himalaya? And they go on talking about other things but never talk about the Himalaya. Because of this, Lokman Tilak decided that the Vedas were created at least 75,000 years before. It looks meaningful. It may be so. They may not be written so far back, but they must have existed as oral word for many thousand years. That's why Himalaya is not there. Now scientists say that the Himalaya is the latest addition in the world, the youngest mountain. It is the highest but the youngest. It is still growing, it is still young. Every year it goes on growing higher and higher. Vindhya is the oldest mountain on the earth. Maybe that's why it is bent. Old man, dying. Hindus have a beautiful story about the Vindhya. One seer, Akutash, went to the south, and it was very difficult to cross the Vindhya in those days. No means existed. The beautiful story is when the seer came, just to touch the feet of the seer, Vindhya bent down. And the seer said, "You remain in the same posture. I will be coming soon. So I can cross you easily." So Vindhya has remained bent, and the seer never came back again. He died in the south. But the story is beautiful. Vindhya is bent like an old man. The oldest part of the earth. Even hills are young, old. They die. They are born. Nothing is permanent in the outside world. Look at the trees, at the rivers, at the mountains. They give the feeling that as everything is permanent. But look a little deeper, and the feeling disappears. Then go within, look at your thoughts. They are even more temporary. They go on continuously moving. Not a single thought stays. A moment before you were angry, and the mind was filled with angry thoughts. A moment afterwards you are smiling, and those thoughts have disappeared completely as if they never existed. Just like clouds in the sky, they come and go. They are constantly changing their shape, just like the clouds. They are exactly similar. Meditate on the clouds and you will see their form is constantly changing. If you don't look, you may not be aware. Otherwise, their form is continuously changing. Not for a single moment, the form of the cloud is the same. The same is in your mind. The form of the thought is just like the cloud. It goes on changing. That is the trouble why people cannot concentrate. Because concentration means the form of the thought should remain constantly the same. That is the problem. And it goes on moving and changing. Whatsoever you do, it is changing. One thought changes into another, one form into another form. The world of thought is also not that which endures. Hills change, clouds change, only the sky remains the same. It endures. The same is within you. Things change around you. Clouds, thoughts change within you. But the sky of the self, the witness self, remains the same. That is the pearl, the witnessing self. It is formless, so it cannot change. if there is form change is going to happen. If there is no form, how change can happen? It is formless, nirakar. If you go to this formlessness within you, in the beginning it will look empty, because you don't know formlessness, you know only emptiness. But don't be afraid and don't get scared. Enter into it. When you become acquainted, when you have settled in it, then the emptiness is not emptiness, it becomes formlessness. When this formlessness is achieved, you have the pearl. Then you have purchased one at the cost of the many. Right now, at the cost of the one, you have purchased many. And one is the pearl, and many are just false stones. They may look very valuable, they are not, because they cannot endure. Endurance, nityata, eternity, is the criterion of truth. Remember this well. What is truth? That which endures, and endures infinitely. What is dream? That which begins and comes to an end, which cannot endure forever. So look to that pearl which nobody can snatch from you, not even death. In death the body will die, in death the thoughts will disappear, but you will go on and on and on. Death happens near you, but never to you. It happens in the neighborhood, but never at the centers. It happens at the circumference. You have never died. You cannot die. Mountains disappear, clouds come and go, but the sky remains the same, and you are the sky. The nature of the self is just like the space. Empty, infinitely empty, formless. Everything happens within it. Nothing happens to it. This is what Jesus means. Do you also seek for the treasure which fails not, which endures, where no moth comes near to devour, and where no worm destroys? Enough for today.